In our Friday food department today, the president of the Illinois Restaurant Association, Sam Toya. Sam, good morning. With this weather, let's talk about dining al fresco. These restaurants that have setups on sidewalks in the city, how long can they do that before they have to take it down?
So, you know, basically you have to, you could do it year round. We were able to get that because if you go back about, I want to say it was 2012, and we had a, first off, good morning, Bob. they had a very, very nice, beautiful February and a beautiful St. Paddy's Day. This was in 2012. It was when the Rahm Emanuel was mayor, and you were supposed to not have sidewalk cafes for like 3 months. We were able to change the ordinance where you could do it year-round. However, there's obviously things in the ordinance, like if there was snow and stuff like that, you had everything removed off the sidewalk by 7 p.m. and stuff like that. But we got it where it could be year round, just in case we got some beautiful weather like we did, 13 years ago. But again, you have to remove your tables and your chairs by 7 p.m. Usually you have to close, before midnight, and most sidewalk cafes close before 10 p.m. We've had great weather now in September, now moving into October, so a lot of restaurants are keeping their sidewalk cafes open. They did not stop having the sidewalk cafes after Labor Day because the weather's been so great.
So that stretch downtown on Clark Street, they can keep that going as long as the weather's nice, huh?
Wait. No, now that's the sidewalk cafes. It's different, on Clark Street in River North, you go all the way, to the street, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you're going to have to remove that, we'll remove all that stuff in case snow comes. Got it?
Okay.
So that's the trick in the ordinance there. You'd have to have everything removed by 7 p.m. because of snow.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a little, little nuances that you have to take care of. If you're going to use the outdoor sidewalks, because you see a lot of people will use them in April and even going into October because they have those little,
the huts, the igloos. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And out in the suburbs, is it different depending on what suburb it is?
Yes, it goes from municipality to municipality, Bob. Like in downtown Arlington Heights, they have all that outdoor dining. However, they do not leave that up all winter long, once again, because plow trucks might have to get through those streets if it snows.
Yeah, in Chicago, you have to worry about the weather because we can go from 80 to 20 in a day.
That is true.
What's on your list of favorite patios, favorite places to dine outside?
Dining outside is just wonderful, right? And it really took off during the pandemic and now after the pandemic. Piccolo Sonio is one of the best patios. It feels like a dreamy Italian courtyard oasis. It's just great. That's at Milwaukee and Damon in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Grand Avenue. So that's a great one. RPM Seafood Patio has the most picturesque view of the Chicago River. Chicago Cut's got a beautiful, beautiful outdoor dining. Once again, looking at the river. ABBA in the West Loop is ideal for after work and happy hour. Fantastic rooftop garden. And now that the Cubs keep winning, I'm sure a lot of people want to go to Old Crow or Moe's Canteen on Clark Street in Lakeview because they have some beautiful outdoor decks as well.
Yeah, and that area around Wrigley Field is going to be hopping now, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, Gallagher Way and up and down Clark Street. Yes, it's going to be hopping. They closed the street there from like Newport all the way down to, Addison. That whole street is closed. And then from Addison all the way down to, past, you know, past Sheffield, that street's closed too. So you have people just moving about the sidewalks in the street. It's, you know, it's just a party atmosphere. It's like a New Orleans Mardi Gras atmosphere.
Yeah, the Cubs celebrations combined with nice weather, that is good news for restaurants that really are still having a tough time, aren't they?
They are, Bob. You know, since 2020, product cost has gone up 35%, labor cost has gone up 35%, and fixed costs have gone about 18%. All you can do is pass on the increase to your customers. And every time you pass on an increase to your customers, you lose customers. I always say that before the pandemic, this was a business of nickels and dimes. Post-pandemic, it's become a business of pennies and nickels, and you lose a few more pennies, you go out of business. That's why you see quite a few empty storefronts throughout our city. I don't care if it's 79th Street, 53rd Street, Lincoln Avenue, Clark Street, Ashland Avenue, Western Avenue. You see a lot of empty storefronts because you can't just keep mandating these independent restaurants. And we're a very independent restaurant town.
More Friday food news now. The president of the Illinois Restaurant Association, Sam Toya, is with us. Sam, what do you say to people who see that 3% charge, surcharge, whatever they call it, on their bill and ask to have it removed, because restaurants will do that. Why should we be paying that?
You know, so again, as I mentioned earlier, we were talking a little bit earlier, product cost has gone up, like I said, 35% since 2020. And during the pandemic, a lot of restaurants put that surcharge on to obviously make up for cost, right? Like healthcare is a big thing. So usually most of that 3% goes towards healthcare for the team members. So they didn't, you know, a lot of restaurant owners, operators didn't want to put that on their menu. So they put it at the bottom of the bill. So you see the cost of a fish or steak or pasta being certain price. But then when you get your bill, you see that 3% on. Most restaurants and most restaurant companies, if you ask to take the 3% surcharge off, they will take it off. But most of the people don't. So that's an extra 3% increase to the cost when you're going out. But usually that 3% goes right to health care for team members that work at the restaurant.
So you really shouldn't, for example, if you usually tip 20%, you really shouldn't say, well, I'm only going to tip 17% if I pay the 3%, because it's going to a different pocket, isn't it?
It is, Bob. However, you know, everyone, you know, times are tough. You know, everyone's got a budget to live on. So, you know, it would be great if you could still, you know, tip to 20%, but if you got to tip to 17% because 3% is going to surcharge, like I said, most of the time, super majority of the time, that 3% surcharge is going back to the team member.
Let's talk pizza for a little bit. Yelp came out with one of their lists of top pizzas. Lou Malnati was number one. They also mentioned chains in Illinois. And let's see, California Pizza Kitchen, Jet's Pizza, Domino's even made the list, also Little Caesars. How important are these reviews from places like Yelp, Sam?
It is important. Because a lot of restaurant companies, like you mentioned, a lot of these places, Lou Malnati's to specifically talk about, a Chicago brand, it helps because their marketing department will use this on social media, and, you know, customers draw customers, people draw people. So when you're, you know, putting this out there on your social media that you were voted the best pizza in Chicagoland, it helps. It brings people into your restaurant, especially if you have a marketing team that knows how to use it on social media.
Well, what about customers leaving reviews on a restaurant's website? Do owners really look at that?
They do. They do. Restaurant owners, operators are basically type A personalities, and, you know, they're into the service industry. They like serving people. They do not like bad reviews, because if you get too many bad reviews, Bob, you're not staying in business.
Yeah, it is kind of dangerous, though, because sometimes I look at those and you see like a lot of great reviews and then maybe one really bad one, and you have to wonder, is this a competitor, you know, trying to sabotage this place? You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. That could be a problem. You know, it's very competitive out here. We're in a very foodie town, and you want to one-up your competition. So that could always be a possibility.
News came this week out of San Francisco that DoorDash is adding restaurant reservations and robot deliveries in some U.S. markets. Are we going to see that around here?
We are, and it's exciting to see DoorDash testing delivery robots. I did have a meeting with these robot companies not too long ago. It's a sign of how quickly technology is reshaping the way people experience restaurants. You know, there's some positive sides to robots. You know, to make deliveries more efficient and more affordable for restaurants. Again, there's only two things you control in the restaurant industry. It's your product cost and your labor cost. With this robot, maybe you bring down the labor cost, especially with these mandates coming out of the fifth floor on restaurants. You know, but there are trade-offs. Deliveries has always been a human connection, and drivers know the neighborhoods, and it helps, you know, help keep things running smoothly and brings that important human connection. But again, these robots are a step forward, and I think they can, like, travel about a mile and a half from the restaurant that they're that are using the robots, and they can now remember. I was talking about snow a little bit earlier. There's too much snow, these robots won't work. If it's a dusting of snow, it will work. But if there's too much snow, it won't work. You got to go back to the human delivery driver.
How will DoorDash's plans affect other delivery and reservation platforms like OpenTable and Instacart, for example?
Yeah, again, we see technology evolving every day, AI and stuff like that. So, you know, keep your seatbelt on. We're going to keep seeing more and more of these robot technology coming because, again, you got to watch your labor costs. And when you got elected officials mandating you, you got to turn to technology to try to bring your labor costs down.
DoorDash said this week that their new Going Out tab is going to let users book tables at restaurants. I hope we're not going to see the day where you can no longer talk to the restaurant directly for reservations, because more and more they kind of direct you to the internet, don't they?
They do. They do, again. But going out to eat is an experience, and any good restaurant owner operator, he or she knows that the people want that human touch. So I don't think we'll lose that human touch. There's going to be some restaurants that probably do lose the human touch, but in a lot of restaurants, you will always have that experience and human touch, because people want an experience when they go out to eat, and the experience is the human connection.
Sam Toya, president of the Illinois Restaurant Association, always informative, and you always make me hungry also, Sam.
There you go.
Have a good weekend. Thank you.
You too. Go Cubs.